people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to Feedback, 7 minutes after 8 a.m. on this, the Wednesday version of the fine program. Let's start off with the story that is leading a lot of headlines this morning, Ariel Castro. We all knew him in the news as the Cleveland, Ohio individual that held captive women in his home for approximately a year, torturing them, sexually assaulting them, verbally assaulting them, just a worthless piece of human trash, absolutely the epitome of evil, killed himself. 53 years old, found hanging in his cell at the correction center in Orient, Ohio. They found him around 9:20 in the evening. And, oh, I'm sure that everybody rushed him to the hospital. I'm sure that the staff was in a hurry to take him. He was taken to University Wexner Medical Center, Ohio State, and he was pronounced dead. He was sentenced to, what, life in prison plus 1,000 years? He served 33 days, I believe. Now, I'm going to say this, and some of you are going to think, wow, you're heartless and cruel and inhumane. I'm glad he's dead. I'm a little surprised he hung himself. I would rather have been caught by the prison population and beaten to death. Now, I know that may sound really harsh, and I know that that may seem to you like I am a cold, heartless, uncaring individual. And to the response, I give you this. To people like this guy, yes, I am. I have no sympathy, none, not one iota, not one speck of sympathy for an individual that does this to other human beings. None. The fact that he was in mental anguish and suffered, that he was internally tormented, good. I'm glad. I'm disappointed he didn't end in prison a brutal, painful, slow death and that he took his own life. But I'm glad he's gone. It's like taking the trash out. I'm gone. He's gone. And I hope that this gives, I don't know, some kind of peace to the women that he held captive and that they are able to know that this evil will never, ever get out of prison and that he will, you know, he's gone and that hopefully it helps them move on with their life. Let's go to the phones. Heidi, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? No?
Hey, good morning, you guys. I just want to say I'm glad the guy's gone.
Yeah.
And I don't feel sorry for him, like with Channel 7. You know, we should have watched him more. I don't know what they're talking about, but I just wanted to clarify something that I had said. You know, when I said that the health care is being funded through the CRs, that they are, because there's a New York Times story saying that the part that they want to defund within the CR, that is with the health care exchanges. That's going to each state.
All right, you're going to have to bring me up to speed. Was this something you were talking about with Tom yesterday morning, the first part of the show?
No. This is what I talked about with you after Sean Duffy left.
The continuing resolution.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking that far back. I got you. All right, I got you.
Anyway, it's a New York Times article by James P. Mulder. Mm-hmm. Tom can look it up. But it does talk about that they're talking about defunding part of Obamacare within the CR. So that means we are funding some of the implementation within the CR, which should be the budget, but it's not. It's a CR.
Yeah, they are getting ready to implement. And then, okay, so you're gone. All right, then if you're going to be gone, then it's not part of our discussion. Let's go to line 4. Mike, thanks very much for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, Seth, I just wanted to tell you I agree exactly with what you're saying. Quite honestly, if somebody did that to one of my daughters, I would want to bail them out so I could take care of them myself.
Yeah.
I mean, what this person did was so inhumane. And quite honest, our system is not strong enough for the criminal. I mean, to spend life in prison, like you said, the inmates would have taken care of them. But you know, I agree with you 100%. He got an easy way out is what it amounts.
Yeah, from what I understand, he was in what is basically a solitary confinement. He was limited access to the basic, population of the prison for his own protection. I don't know how long they would have kept him there. I would assume, do they keep him? You know, if you're serving life plus 1,000 years, is it possible to keep this guy isolated from the standard population for the entire term? I don't know. But
I don't know the answer to that either. But, you know, it's a good thing he's dead. He saved the taxpayers a ton of money.
I agree.
But he got an easy way out.
I agree.
No doubt about it.
Thank you very much for calling in.
I appreciate it.
I was hesitant to just be honest about how much I don't care about this individual being dead. Even my saying it, I hear myself say it, and my little voice in the back is like, dude, that's cold. That's callous. Well, how cold and callous was this guy when he was abusing these three women? I'll tell you something else that's bothering me about this. How do you keep three individuals in your house and nobody else in your family knows anything about it? There's something about this that I don't like. There's something, you know, a buddy of mine, you know, he gets questioned about what's going on in his life from his neighbors. If somebody comes over for a party, or if there's a, you know, if he brings a date over and they have dinner at the home.
Where was Gladys Kravitz when we needed her?
Yeah, precisely. I mean, in our world, everybody has got their nose wedged in everybody else's life.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. How do you keep three people in a home, prisoner, for a decade, and not anybody else fully know what in the world was going on? Something doesn't smell right. Anyway, that's the comment that I wanted to make on Castro. I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, I came in and saw that headline this morning. I was thinking it was Fidel Castro.
The Fidel Castro hung
yeah.
himself?
Yeah.
No way. Now, Fidel is still hanging on, right?
Yeah. That's why when I saw
that. He outlived Hugo Chavez, his little buddy down in Venezuela. I'm telling you, man, Castro's got some strength to him. I'm not praising Fidel Castro, please understand. But, I mean, after everything that's gone on, good gravy sakes alive, the guy's still, well, maybe he's
still
alive.
There's a reason why the poison cigars and the wetsuit that had the poison in it didn't work when the CIA tried to kill him. Operation Mongoose back in the day.
Everything else that they tried. All right, so there it is. That's our feeling. If you want to be if you want to comment about that any further, that's fine. I have no problem with that. It is a very serious and a shocking news story that has come to an end. If you'd like to be a part of it and be a part of the show and be a part of the conversation, 715-845-2155. But when we come back, I'd like to talk about just a theory that Tom threw out there, kind of off the cuff this morning, about why all of a sudden does it seem like everybody's fallen in lockstep with the president about taking action on Syria. It's an interesting new development. We'll kind of run that to its logical conclusion when we come back. 715-845-2155. Feedback. We'll be right back.
A full dose of the day's events.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
I find that very disturbing.
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback, 820. All right, so this morning while we were doing the morning show, Tom and I, of course, have deep, meaningful, philosophical conversations in the 2.5 to 5 minute commercial breaks that we have. And he brought up an interesting theory that I thought we would discuss. First, let's go to Jeff. Jeff, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
Hey, I was just thinking about that Castro, that all the time and money that the defense stuck into keeping him off of death row, and then he offed himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I have, I don't know if any of this was brought up, but he had them girls captive for over 10 years. He couldn't even handle a month in captive. So that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, interesting bit of irony there. Yeah, you're right. They held three women captive for a decade, and yet 33 days in prison, and boom, he takes the coward's way out. Thanks very much for calling, Jeff. I appreciate it. All right. Help me run down what your theory about the serious circumstance. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, the president is going to Congress now to try to get limited military strikes against Syria. By limited, we don't know quite what that means yet, but it's continuing to come out now that there are a number of Republicans who are jumping on board.
Well,
obviously, we had John McCain and Lindsey Graham, rhinos, maybe expected to do that. And John McCain likes military action regardless of where it is. He wants us to be very strong militarily around the world. But yesterday, after meeting with the president and after the administration made the case to congressional committees, John Boehner signed on. Eric Cantor signed on.
Yeah.
That's the one that shocked me.
Yeah.
And now this morning, former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, now, does that shock you? I mean, Donnie has always had that. I saw a cartoon with him during the Iraq conflict where they showed him in a sailor outfit with a broken bottle looking at other countries going, you want some of this?
Yeah, all right. Well, that's fine. But he says the president doesn't need congressional approval to carry out military action against Syria. Now, my point this morning was that with all of these Republicans, if Mitch McConnell does it, I said, then we know something's up, because Mitch McConnell's the guy who said our mission is to basically work against anything the president wants. Mm-hmm. Are the Republicans doing this because they hope that Syria becomes Barack Obama's Vietnam or his Iraq or whatever analogy you want to use?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that's just your overly cynical liberal viewpoint.
Are they
coming
doing it for political purposes in order to damage the last 2 to 2.5 years of the Obama presidency?
I'm going to say as a whole no.
Okay.
I'm not going to discount, though, that there may be some Republican strategists that would think,
let him do it because it's going to only escalate and it's going to get worse, and this administration will be bogged down, and it's going to take Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden down with them.
And they may or may not have the moral guidance to weigh the lives of our soldiers and use them as a political pawn. I think as a whole, I do not believe as a whole the Republican leadership thinks this way. But yeah, there may be a few less than scrupulous Republicans out there that are thinking, yeah, let him do this and let the blowback happen. It can only be good for us. All right, let's go to the phones. Jeff, thanks for holding. What's on your... No, we already spoke to Jeff. What's your name?
Kevin.
Kevin, what can we do for you, my friend?
Well, I think President Obama is absolutely brilliant in how he has orchestrated this whole thing, because once again, he's put off making this decision on his own. So he will not be held accountable either way. As far as the political ramifications, and by the way, I do think we should do something in Syria, but it needs to be enough to actually solve the problem.
Okay.
If you don't do enough to solve the problem, then you might as well stay completely out.
What do you think would solve the problem?
I think you've got to absolutely force regime change.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we should be involved?
That's going to be messy.
Yeah, it will be. My theory...
But here's the thing. Obama is brilliant, and here's why. And the Democrats are actually brilliant, and here's why.
Okay.
They're putting the responsibility onto Congress, which in the media means it's on the Republicans, even though the Democrats own the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Congress was demanding it, though. They were demanding the right to make this decision.
They were, because they thought they were going to... They thought they could trap the president, and he just one-upped them once again. He knew they were going to do that, and rather than be presidential and say, you know what, I'm in charge, I can do something for 30 days before I have to go to Congress, which is absolutely legal, he said, okay, I'm going to call your bluff, and he has absolutely smoked them. This is going to kill the Republicans in the 2014 elections, because the Republican primary voters do not want this, and they aren't going to show up, and then they're not going to show up for the general. The Democrats are going to take back the House or get darn close, and they're going to increase their numbers in the Senate. This was a brilliant political move by Obama.
Interesting analysis. Let's go to Derek on line two. Derek, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Hi, Seth, Tom. This is Derek. I actually called in last week about the Syrian conflict. Kind of ruffled your feathers a little bit with the whole not... we shouldn't go into Syria thing.
Okay.
I don't know if either one of you were listening to Rush Limbaugh yesterday, but Rush actually brought up some points where he is starting to see the larger possibility that it was actually the rebels that pulled out the chemical attack and not the Assad regime. I don't know if either one of you guys heard him say that or heard anything of that.
Unfortunately, no. I did not have a chance to catch.
And where was he getting his information that would be so totally opposite from what every intelligence agency and every government in the West is saying?
Alex Jones, obviously.
Well, that may be.
No, not Alex Jones. If you actually look at many news organizations around the world, it is pretty much Western organizations, primarily American news organizations, that are pushing this story. That being said, I wonder how ignorant we think some of these leaders are over there. If Assad is having a conflict, why would he want to escalate it and have other countries come into his country and go and deal with his conflict?
Well, let me ask you a question, and this is sort of on topic, maybe off topic. Why do you draw the natural? Why do you come to the conclusion that the Americans are wrong and the Europeans are right? Why do you draw that conclusion so naturally?
Why do I draw that conclusion?
Yeah.
Conclusion so naturally?
Yeah.
I've talked to many of my liberal friends right now, and a lot of them seem to hold the belief now, you know, everybody was anti-war prior to Obama, but a lot of people now are saying, okay, I understand now that we're over in Afghanistan to keep the terrorists from coming here. That being said, why would we want to take out Assad and put in another Muslim Brotherhood government and totally destabilize another country in that region? I don't understand that.
Are you believing that Obama is a Muslim Brotherhood sympathizer?
I don't want to go that far. I'm not one of those people that goes, I don't go around and bash Obama.
Hang on a second. You're making some very strong anti-American sentiments. You're saying that the government can't be trusted. You're saying that the government is ginning up proof that there were chemical attacks by the Assad government in order to put in a Muslim Brotherhood regime. Why would we do this? Why do you, and again, I go back to my original question, why do you come to that conclusion? Why do you feel that that is the truth and the opposite is not? Why do you, what's causing you to feel this way?
We do have a precedent in Iraq in 2003 where our country, we went on bad intelligence. Half the intelligence we had that we went on in 2003 with intelligence from 10 to 12 years ago. And that being said, we totally ignored what the NATO inspector said and went through with our policy anyway.
Right. And okay. We trusted our intelligence sources instead of trusting UN inspectors. I give you that. But that was, for all intents and purposes, a mistake. You're saying that the Obama administration is doing it intentionally.
Yes.
Why? And if you're a liberal, why are you taking the stance against your elected leader?
Why do we automatically assume that if you're going to take out the Assad regime, that you're in support of a Muslim Brotherhood government to take over the country? I mean, does the United States, France, Britain, the UN, even Russia and China, do we have a moral obligation to answer the use of chemical weapons against civilians in this conflict? We didn't respond in Central Africa, in Rwanda. We didn't respond in the Sudan. We didn't respond for a long time in Iraq. Do we hold some sort of moral imperative to take some kind of action?
Okay. Well, with that being said, John Kerry, right? I would not use strongly believe as a solid intelligence classification. Nowhere does he say we have definitive proof that it was the Assad regime that used the chemical weapons. In all of his interviews and every public bit of speaking John Kerry has done in this and Obama, it's always strongly believed.
That's political speak. That's diplomatic political speak. They do that so that there's plausible deniability and they can say, well, this is the way I felt at the time. All right, unfortunately, we're going to have to go because we're out of time. Interesting theories, not a whole lot to back it up. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
The Wisconsin Morning News now. WSAU Feedback at 8 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.